Our guest today is Father Peter Mary Rookie, OSM, and he was with us last week, and the talk that he gave about marriages was so beautifully done, and I'm sure that many of you have questions that need to be answered, and we hope that in some way, through the talk that Father is giving, will give today, will help you to be able to overcome some of the fears in the in your marriage, and how to get along with your spouse, and accept the things that may be happening, because God, when you took your vow, that it was for better or for worse, and we need to know these things if we want to get well in our life, and in all situations. Sometimes we're not realizing that being in a predicament that we feel that we're in sometimes is stopping us from really loving that person the way we should. And is that correct, Father, in what I'm saying?
Well, in there? our ministry of healing, it certainly will obstruct our healing, because we're not in tune with the Lord when we're living his good news.
Mm-hmm.
He has given us such good news in the gospel when we're not living that. We're
state
not
of grace,
in tune with him.
Yes,
In other words, I'm like a sick person that doesn't want to be healed, you know, in a sense.
You know what I always think about, Father, when two people are in love, you know, and they want to marry, that I don't understand that. I know there's sometimes you can fall out of love quickly by someone, what they do or are doing. But if you sit and talk with one another and talk your problems out.
I think basically, Margaret, the difficulty comes from my understanding of love. We understand love mostly by our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But love is an act of my will. And let us say I am married to a beautiful blonde, and through an accident she becomes disfigured. She's not so beautiful anymore. Well, I'm not attracted to her body anymore. Maybe she's injured in many respects in her whole body.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
Or she becomes
mm-hmm.
an invalid.
Yes.
So I don't love you. I don't love her anymore, because I was loving her body. I was loving her because of her attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But what we must love is centered in the will. So this is the love that God has for us, and he shares his love with us. And so if my love is only a love of physical attraction or other qualities I see in another person, it's a come and go kind of love.
Not a true
so when
love.
So when those things cease, then as so many people say, I'm leaving you because I don't love you anymore. Well, I don't love you anymore because I've seen somebody else maybe more that has those qualities I want to see in my spouse, and you don't have them anymore, or whatever. But love is centered in the will. And that's what ennobles us.
Mm-hmm.
As Jesus said, and Paul repeats after him, we love to the end.
To the end.
No matter what. Jesus, even when people go against us, maybe my spouse is a drunkard and attacks me and or drinks up all the earnings of the family or whatever, we must continue to love our spouse and to use every means to overcome whatever the trouble is. We cannot simply scratch a person out of our life because of this or that difficulty. We must love in spite of everything. This is love in the will. And if our love is only ephemeral or surface, then we're in for trouble. And this is what happens. And since divorce, which is contrary to Christ's law, has become so easy, I know they're advertising in Chicago, where I live, 250 and
they'll take you out of your misery
for divorce.
And they think they'll take them out of their misery, don't they?
And it's out of the water and into the fire, sort of thing. So, I think we're getting aside from our some of the answers that the people want. And what about people who are divorced even against their will by their spouse? Well, they, of course, according to Christ's law, are not allowed to go with another spouse. And because marriage, as we've said in our last discussion
program.
Last
mm-hmm.
week, is forever, and that's what we say in our vows, which we take, asking God to witness that what we are saying is true and is that we intend to carry this out. So the remarriage of persons or attempted remarriage of persons divorced from a living lawful spouse contravenes the law and plan that God has taught us through Christ. What God has joined, let no one put asunder. They separate themselves from the Eucharist in this sense, too, because I cannot receive, that would be a travesty for me to receive Christ into my into my body and soul when I am not living. I'm in open opposition to his I'm not showing my love for Christ when I'm not going against what he tells me. As Jesus said, you love me if you keep my commandments, and if we're not keeping his commandments, we cannot be in communion with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people who are living outside the law of Christ cut themselves off, actually, from Christ. Even if I receive communion, it would be an insult to Christ because I'm not following him.
Mm-hmm.
And
But of course, the person that divorce that person, in other words, by force, they were forced in divorce, can go to communion, though.
Oh, of course, if they're not guilty.
If they're not guilty, they can. That party can go.
But they may not. According to Christ's law, they may not remarry.
They cannot remarry. We call it remarriage,
but Christ said marriage is for life.
For life.
So death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
And I jokingly think often of the one-liner I have about the Irishman. He said he didn't believe in divorce because, you know, he believed in fighting it out to the bitter end. And this, there is a kernel of truth there that love, which incidentally is the greatest power in the universe. It's greater than the most terrible bomb we can create. Love is the greatest power in the universe. This love, the power of this love that brings us to love to the end, till death do us part.
Beautiful words, Father, and it's a shame that we don't remember those words, huh? Mm-hmm. Till death do us part.
Yes, that's what we promise in our
marriage
oath taking before the altar, in sickness and in health, in poverty and riches, and till death do us part. I'd like to touch on some of the abuses of this greatest power on earth, and especially the abuses attacking the sacrament of marriage. So, since love is a fundamental and innate vocation of every human being, that's the basic law, the love of God, love of our neighbor, but creating the human being, man and woman, God gives personal dignity equally to the one and the other. Each of them, man and woman, should acknowledge and accept his special sexual identity. Christ is the model of chastity. Every baptized person is called to lead a chaste life according to the particular state of life he is living in. If he is married, he must live chastely in his marriage. Avoid those things that would destroy his love of his spouse or her spouse. So, chastity means that our sexuality is an integrated one within our person, that it is in order, in other words. And so that means we must train ourselves to live a life according to God's chaste law.
If I will, Father, I'd like to add this to what you're talking about, because, you know, many people have committed adultery, you know, in their marriage, and they're very sorry for these things, okay? And do not realize, unless they confess this, to unburden themselves, then they will be healed.
Right. You know, that's why God gave us the sacrament of the reconciliation confession.
So what they need to know out there is how to
come to grips with these problems.
With these problems. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be able to answer all their questions today, but they can go to their pastor or priest or spiritual director or whatever, because he is bound also that whatever they tell him, that's between them and God. actually God, because he is representing him. Mm-hmm. And many people do not realize that they can do this because they are bound not to say anything that's told to them.
Right.
Is that correct, Father?
Oh, correct. Very
you know,
correct. Yeah.
So it's important that you as to say, unload.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the time.
Yes.
To get rid of all of these things that have been bothering you, and make amends with God.
And we've been talking about love. Love is, of course, first the love of God, and God's love is unchangeable. God, being God, cannot change, and so his love is everlasting. It never changes. So whenever we turn to him, we can be absolved from our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just like to, before we run out of time, to mention some of the things mentioned in the Bible that are against this love of ours, and that are flaunted now, you know, with homosexual activity and all of that. Among the sins gravely contrary to chastity, whether we're single or married, are masturbation, fornication, which is going with somebody who's not married, pornography, and homosexual practices. In other words, the covenant which man and woman make in their marriage is also brings the obligation of perpetuity, or indissolubility, as it's called, the unbreakableness of that bond we make. We should also, to make this thing complete, speak of the fecundity of marriage. You know, over the centuries, there have been heresies condemning the use of the marriage privilege, of the bed.
Yeah.
they condemned, use of their marriage privileges as something impure. It's something like some people get carried away in their great desire to overcome the abuses of alcohol and drugs by declaring that drugs and alcohol are evil. Well, everything God created is good. It's what we, just because we abuse these good gifts of ours, including marriage. Mm-hmm. Marriage is good. And having children is a very great good. Where would we be without this act of marriage? So to condemn something a priori, as we call it in philosophy, just because it is abused, is wrong. So there have been heresies down through the centuries, strange as that sounds, that have been against use of marriage, the marriage rites. And of course, some of the other grave abuses against marriage are legitimate intentions on the part of the spouses do not justify recourse to morally unacceptable means of regulation of births, for example, direct sterilization or contraception. Just because I want to regulate the number of my children, I must not do that against God's law. And sterilization is not according to God's law, and contraception also. And of course, the terrible evil of abortion, and then against marriage, of course, is also trial marriage and adultery, divorce, polygamy, the sins against children of every kind, and free unions, as they are called, are grave offenses against the dignity of the sacrament of marriage.
Father, we're going to ask for your blessing now.
Well, we give you the blessing that the Lord told Moses, Aaron should give, and his sons should give to the people. It's right out of the Bible. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly upon you and grant you his peace and his blessing, the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the prayers and merits of our Blessed Lady and all the saints, descend upon you and all your dear ones, and heal you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you once again, Father Peter Mary Rookie. And I'd like to thank you, the listening audience, for tuning in to Mary's Helpers News program. I'm Margaret Trosclair, wishing you a very good day, and God bless you.